Blog Talk Radio.
We are not just going to be waiting for legislation in order to make sure that we're providing Americans the kind of help that they need. I've got a pen and I've got a phone, and I can use that pen to sign executive orders and take executive actions and administrative actions that move the ball forward.
Generations from now, we will be able to look back and tell our children that this was the moment when we began to provide care for the sick and good jobs to the jobless. This was the moment when the rise of the ocean began to slow and our planet began to heal. This was the moment when we ended a war and secured our nation and restored our image as the last best hope on earth.
I talked to a former Obama White House person just before Christmas when Obama was sort of adrift, figuring out what to do. His poll numbers were pretty low. And he said, look, the president needs to find an issue to campaign on. This is what he's good at. He's really good at campaigning, maybe not governing, according to this stuff.
Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption.
Corruption. Corruption.
Until now.
You feel that? You better hold on. This one's
welcome once again to the program. If you don't know who I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise. But we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom regardless of the cost. And remember, shipmates, freedom is not cheap, but we can't afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. You want to be a part of the program today? 646-716-7978. That's 646-716-7978. All right, we've got a lot to get through today, and there's lots and lots and lots and lots of people out there that are desperate to take away your freedom. So let's lift this jib and get this damn ship underway. All right, we are now underway. Shift colors! Yes, sir. I loved it in the Navy when we went underway, man. I hated being in port, unless we were in, you know, the Philippines or Thailand or, you know. I did like San Diego, but I loved being out to sea, man. I just loved it. You either love it or you hate it. Well, I loved it. All right, let's get into this here today now. If you've ever listened to this show, you do know exactly how I feel about these cockamamie executive orders. You do know that I have professed that it is not in the Constitution. I stand by that here today. Yes, we all know that George Washington and every president since 1789 used them. However, I don't care how many presidents have used them. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Just because George Bush used them, now Barack Obama says, I got to use them now too. Well, George Bush used them. But mommy, George Bush used them. Well, now I don't get to. That's not fair. No, you idiot. The executive order needs to be. There's a lot of amendments that this Constitution needs. If we had a real responsible Congress. Instead of passing all these pieces of legislation that control business from conducting business, staying the hell out of people's lives and letting people live, spend a little more time, I don't know, well, correcting things that aren't working, and we need to get them fixed. What isn't working is the amount of freedom and liberty and rights that are being taken away. That's not working. That is not a free society. Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe if they spent a little bit more time, which is their job, as it's laid out in the Constitution. Look, the document is there. And if something isn't working that needs to be corrected, well, we have the right to correct it. Hello, let's start with the 13th and 14th Amendments. Just saying. We have the right to correct things that are not working and that are, well, stopping people from being free. We have that right. We can do that. That's the purpose of Congress. It's not as Nancy Pelosi would love to have you believe, which has got to be the absolute just dumbest ever living creature that has ever been sworn into Congress. I'm sure there's probably been dumber people, but in my lifetime, maybe it is all time. I don't know. But just passing pieces of legislation is not, that's not a productive Congress. Productive does not mean have anything to do with quantity. How is that productive? If nothing gets done and nobody's free, how the hell is that productive? Oh, that's right. It's productive for the government. They're free. They're free to pass more laws and rules and regulations and restrictions and fines and fees, taxes, levies. It's okay for them to just start passing stimulus packages, which means just more money's coming out of your bank. So they can spend it on their buddies who voted for them into power. Why isn't the media talking about that? Why is Chris Christie's little traffic jam more important than that? Stealing the American taxpayers' money? That's not important to you, media? Huh? Why did you become a reporter? So you could work for one side or the other? Be their propaganda spokesperson? Or did you become a so-called journalist to, well, report the facts, the news? But it's all about selling them goddamn newspapers, selling that advertising on CNN and MSNBC, which can't seem to find a whole lot of advertisers, by the way. Most of their commercial breaks are nothing but promos. But even on the other stations, it's all the same crap. We shouldn't be talking about Chris Christie at all. I'm sorry. Why? I mean, Fox even bought into it, too. They all did. Well, we got to get in on this. This is the hottest scandal of the day. First of all, it's not what I would call a scandal. And look how quickly. Almost made it. Look how quickly it took the Department of Justice to get off their ass and start sending lawyers down to the crime scene. How long did it take you to send lawyers down to the Benghazi crime scene? Huh? I mean, after all, I mean, bad people, they stole 400 surface air missiles from the United States. And they killed four of our brothers. I mean, wouldn't that send. How about Fast and Furious? How come he didn't send any lawyers down to that crime scene? Oh, that's right. Yeah, you were the one creating the crime scene. Can't do that. How about the IRS? Did you send any lawyers down there to get to the bottom of things? That's right, the FBI did, and they found nothing. Nope, nothing to see here. Really? No, of course not. Not going to be a damn thing to see there. Well, if we do that, well, then that'll look really bad against the government, and it'll be, you know, the people of the world will think that, you know, the United States is vulnerable, and they'll attack us. Well, they already know we're vulnerable because, well, we know we're vulnerable because, well, we friggin' are vulnerable. Into the goddamn House and Senate, the only reason why they're not out with impeachment hearings on something like this, which if we did have a responsible Congress, my God, Fast and Furious alone, there should have been a lot of people lost their job for that one. At least the Attorney General and the other guys in the ATF or FBI or whoever was involved in it. I don't know their names. I don't care. Doesn't matter. But those big boys that set it up and instituted it, got it off the ground, and allowed these weapons to go into the hands of these really, really, really bad people. I mean, these people should, I mean, there should be criminal, it should be criminal myself. But I mean, if you're not going to go that far, at least they've got to be removed from their jobs. My Lord, man. I mean, if we had a responsible president, he would have fired his attorney general over that. I don't care how good of friends they are. But the problem with our Congress is they're afraid to bring up anything impeachment because I don't look like it's racist. Which it won't. It has nothing to do with race, for God's sakes, man. When I listen to people bring that crap up, I'm thinking to myself, my God, have you not been paying attention? Fast and Furious, Benghazi, IRS. I mean, people died in this stuff. Stimulus packages, they took your money. And they gave it to their campaign donors. And they got multi-million dollar bonus checks. And now with this Obamacare, looks like the only people that are signing up are people are getting subsidies. Okay, that's fine. But the people have to actually pay for it. They're not signing up. And now guess what's going to happen? That's right. Guess who gets another bailout from your pocket? So you are now paying exorbitant amount of prices for health care, or you simply don't have health care because you can't afford it, and your insurance company dropped you because the actual law of the land mandated that these insurance companies drop you. But now all these evil insurance companies that the administration just loves to blame, they like to blame anybody. Anybody but them. It's never anybody's fault but everybody else's. It's never their fault. Nobody connected to this administration is fault. As soon as you win an election or you get appointed into this administration, well, then you become automatically, well, just perfect. You don't make mistakes. You don't lie. Oh, yeah, what I really said was, no, you didn't. The videotape proves it. No act of terror. Really? No act of terror. Terror that you have inflicted on this country, Mr. Satoru. 91.5 million people out of work. That's terror. You ever been hungry? You know that's terror. And it is. How about the terror of our four American brothers that were brutally murdered in Benghazi? You think they went through a little terror? Furious. How about that Border Patrol agent? Yeah. Little Terry, yeah. Think he went through a little terror? These are all because of your policies, Mr. President. The IRS? These are because of your policies. The terror that you have inflicted on this country. Businesses, they can't conduct business. It's impossible for an American business to conduct business in America. Tell me, Mr. President pro tempore, Barry Sotoro, that is progress? What progress? Where? Anyway, I don't know where the hell and how the hell we got to where we are now. I don't even, boo, gee, many Christmas. We started on executive orders. See, that's what these liberals, they do to you, man. I mean, there's so much to talk about. I mean, you can't fit it all. You can't fit it all. There's just not enough paper on planet Earth to print all this crap on. Good God. These executive orders, which, all right, first of all, let's get this. It's asinine how, all right, let me take a drink here. Damn, that felt good. All right, now, this is coming directly from the Constitution. And no, I am not going to put a penny in the cuss jar for saying the C word. Not today. This is their, they got two excuses on executive order privileges. Why nobody's pointed this out before, I don't know. Maybe I'm just an idiot, and I have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. But where they state, and I say they, and these are people who just quote what somebody else said, without taking the time to actually research it, beginning in 1789. That's why it is so important that we do, thank God the Constitution gives us the right to do it, but we definitely need to have an amendment that outlines very, very, very specifically what an executive order not only is, but can be used and when and for how long. It needs to be damn near impossible, and we need to be in a serious crisis situation. Okay, I can understand. We've got Martians coming into the country. They're landing all over the place. You need an executive order to nuke the bastards out of the freaking sky. You don't have time to get to Congress? Okay, executive order your ass off and get these frickin' Martians the hell out of here. I want to live my life in peace. The executive order privilege should not be used just to get your way. If Congress won't give it to you, well, then you've got a pen and a phone. How about a brain? What the hell? Well, I got a pen and a phone. Wow. Gee, you, oh man, Putin is shaking in his boots right now, isn't he? Look out, world. Barry's got a pen. Stop him. He's got a pen and a phone. He's dangerous. He's a threat to society. Yeah, I got a pen and a phone, too. Is that supposed to make you look big and tough that you got a pen and a phone? And Iran? Well, God, that Obama, we better do what he says. God, yeah, he's got a pen and a phone. Well, we better listen. Yeah. And if that John Kerry, whatever he says, we just go ahead along and just do it. Yeah. We don't want the stroke of Obama's pen. He's got executive order privilege. Who are you trying to impress with that? What the hell is that supposed to mean? You got a pen. A pen? You also have a constitution, and I would appreciate it if you started following it. But anyway, this is their lame, pitiful, weak, just disgusting excuse of executive order privilege. Article 2, Section 1. very first sentence, right out of the box. The executive power shall be vested in a president of the United States of America. He shall hold his office during the term of 4 years and, together with the vice president chosen for the same term, be elected as follows. Each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature, blah, 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 blah. I just read more there just to see if you could figure out where the hell the executive power privilege is in that. I read a little more just to kind of throw you off a little bit. Did you hear it? The executive power, the first sentence. I gave you a hint right at the very beginning. That's my fault. The executive power shall be vested in a president of the United States of America. The executive power is what is listed throughout the document. There's nowhere that says that the president can just stroke his frickin' pen and do whatever the hell he wants to do because Congress won't give him his way. If that is true, just say for argument's sake, and it is for argument's sake because that's not true. That's not what it means. It means, yeah, he has executive power. He's the president. But the executive power is what is listed throughout this document. Hello? So let's just say, for argument's sake here now, that this is true. The executive power, that little word right there, executive power. See, they're not seeing everything else. They're not reading anything else but the two words together, executive power. That's how they get away with it. And it's BS because it's not true. But let's just say again, for argument's sake, that it is. If that is true, if the president really truly does have executive order privileges, power, executive power, then what the hell are the first and the third articles doing in the Constitution? Why do we need a Congress and why do we need a Supreme Court then? If this is actually true, why somebody who's like a frickin' lawyer hasn't figured this out, I don't know. But think about it. If this is true that the president does have executive power, then he doesn't need a Congress, nor does he need the Supreme Court. But the document clearly states this is not how our government is run. That's why if you really want to have executive power, which I think on certain, like I said before, certain situations that are very extreme and have to be very specific and laid out in this document. 28th Amendment. Lay that damn thing out and be very, very, very specific with it. That way there's no misunderstanding. Oh, no, 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 no. You can't do that. It says right here, this is the only thing you can do it for. Well, you did it. Well, no, no. Well, now you're in trouble. But we have allowed this to go on and 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 go on. Now we don't know what the hell to do. Well, if we lose it, then what do we do? Oh. Well, we get to live free. I know that scares a lot of you people. It doesn't scare me. I require it. And there's another one in here. I think it's article, well, it's the same article. Duh, it's an executive branch. But I think it's section, I think it's section 3. Oh. He shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed. I knew what it was. I just had to find it in here. Didn't take me very long once I got the right page. I got two broken left-handed eyes, too. I can't see for nothing anymore. I can't read. And I swear to God it's because of this stupid computer. I can't read a damn thing anymore, and I flat refuse to wear glasses. First of all, I keep dropping them. I'm going to step on them and break them. And, you know, no, I just get no. But he shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed. How the hell does that give you executive order privilege? What that means is if you have to sign something, well, then you sign it. You need to do this. You need to give a speech. Then you do it. Or you stay out of the damn way and allow it to happen. That does not give you the privilege to pass a law, sign it into law, and then pick and choose what parts of the law that you're going to implement and when you are going to implement them. That is not what that means. That's your job, to faithfully execute the friggin' laws. You do not have to sign an executive order to execute a law. What you do is you stay the hell out of the way and allow it to work. But since your law wasn't working, you kept trying to fix it so you could save face. And now you've got a few minions out there, hangers-on, who obviously aren't up for a re-election. They're coming to your defense, but there's a lot of people that aren't. But they flat refuse to talk impeachment simply because Obama's half black. He looks like he's black. It's just the appearance. It has nothing to do with his policies or anything else. It's just simply his appearance. The fact that the guy's got an afro. He's got to be black. And it's racist. Well, no, it's not racist. It has nothing to do with race. Look, people have died because of his policies. 91.5 million people have lost their jobs. People are starving. That's not progress. There are no jobs. Because this administration, along with the EPA, which is, don't even get me started on them, but there is nothing in this Constitution whatsoever where any agency has the right or the power, the executive power, to pass any laws, regulations, rules, restrictions, fines, fees, taxes, other than Congress. That's your Commerce Clause, to regulate commerce, not to mandate commerce, but to regulate it. The EPA does not have the right to regulate commerce. Nor should the Congress have the right to give them that right or power. But we have allowed this to continue as well. For what? What are we gaining? Anybody feel like they're winning? And if you have, what was the prize? What did you get? The quality of life in this country has dropped. We're now out of the top 10. I don't know what number we are. I got a little bit of something like that. But, I mean, I've been talking about the quality of life in this country dropping since I started this show. You know it. You see it. You feel it. But I've had a buckful of these goddamn executive orders. We can't take this anymore. This is dangerous. Look, this guy has become a complete tyrant. I mean, it's time to recognize it. I'm sorry that you got to use the T word. I'm sorry that you got to use the I word. But we have to impeach. Or we have to at least stop this freight train from crashing into the mountain. There's no tunnel there. There's just tracks right square, dab right into the mountain. There is no tunnel. There is no light at the end of that tunnel. There is no tunnel. It is called a dead end. And why are so many people out there still supporting this just so people, they don't have to come out and admit that they were wrong? I'm sorry, that does not make a person strong. That makes you weak. If you're strong, you got no, look, you screwed up, you screwed up. People are dying. People are losing their lives, their livelihoods, their jobs, their health care, their overall quality of life. They've lost it. They're, that American dream, yeah. Does that bother you at all, Mr. Satoru? How about those four American brothers that were brutally murdered in Benghazi? I know you get tired of hearing me say about this, but I'm not going to let go, Mr. Satoru. I'm sorry. You want to let it go? Well, you need to come clean. Why did you blame it on a video? Where were you? Were you directing the 400 surface air missiles? Were you directing them into the right hands or wrong hands? What were you doing? Who gave the two stand-down orders, and why were they given? Time, that is not an excuse. Never heard of that. Why there are not more military people speaking up about that, I do not know. Why Leon Panetta was allowed to say that and nobody in Congress thought to really question him on it. Why? Why was the Secretary of State, Hillary Hipman Clinton? Why did she relax the security? Did she know there were 400 surface air missiles in there? I'm pretty sure she probably did. She might have even been instrumental on it. Who knows? But there were people that died, and I really don't care what the number is. 1, 4, I don't care. We don't do that to our people. What does that say about the trooper that's stuck in that foxhole and he's getting surrounded? Well, you're on your own, kid. Hope you paid attention during survival training. We got Americans being attacked, man, and we know about it. We get to the rescue as fast as we can. We don't worry about time. Time! We don't worry about time. Time is not an issue. They still haven't sent anybody. Well, they did 2 weeks later. The FBI. But when Leon Panetta, I'm sorry, the worm, I can't call him anything else. What a worm. I'm sorry. I have no respect for this man at all. None. Absolutely zero. I don't have a whole lot of respect for a lot of people in this government. I'd like to. There are some that I do. There are good people in our government. That's what makes this so, that's what makes this hurt so much. Well, it's just another reason. But there are good people out there, and the good people aren't getting heard. And when they do, well, they're racists. Or they're frauds. Not like Mr. King. He's not a fraud. Oh, no. No, Mr. King? A fraud? No, couldn't be. Anyway, back to where we started. These executive orders. Was generally known as the National Security Directives. Suspect executive orders concerned with the national security. You know, I think we've exhausted this. Do we really need to go in to another Barack, insane Obama executive order? It's embarrassing when your president is threatening his country with a pen and a phone. Look, people, this is a problem, man. I'm sorry, but that pen and that phone that he has is actually very sharp. It does explode. It is very, very dangerous. We need to take that pen out of his hands. We need to take the pen out of all of our president's hands. It's not just Barack Obama. This is the president of the United States. It doesn't matter what your stupid name is. It doesn't matter who gets in there. Whoever does get in there has to follow the Constitution. And if they don't, they have to be removed. That should be in there as well. But how you can tell me, try to convince me, there is no proof that anywhere in the Constitution that the president gets executive order privilege. You can't take two words, executive power, in the middle of a sentence and think that's what it means. It does mean that. Then again, what is the purpose of the Congress and the Supreme Court, if that is the case? Who's to say what the president can and cannot use his executive power for? This president uses it for anything that he wants. Even if health care didn't pass, I'm sure he would have executive ordered it in. But again, this is our fault for allowing this crap to happen. Well, we need to stop it. And if we can't get an amendment added to the Constitution, the least we can do is start vetting our candidates and start putting much more responsible, like-minded people into office. And stop voting for the person who's out there blaming the Republicans and for starving children, and they care so much and all this, and we love the poor, and we love this community and that community. We love, love, love. No, you don't love, love, love. You just want more of these poor people so you can keep getting elected. And you're using these people. That ain't right. You shouldn't be using people on either side. I don't care. You know, if you know me, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I don't believe in parties. I think they're for corruption and corruption purposes only. And look at it. Look at the evidence. I just want people in there that are going to take the Constitution seriously and follow it. I want a commander-in-chief to make it a goddamn point that when any of his men are being attacked by the enemy, terrorists, well, then we send as many rescue teams as we possibly can. We get in there and we do everything we can. If we get there too late, well, then we, you know, secure the area and clean up the mess. Those that are injured, well, we get them to a doctor and fix them up. And those that are dead, well, we got to send them back home to mama. But what we don't do is we don't give stand down orders because we're not going to get there in time. That is what we do not do. And we do not use this lame, pitiful, weak-ass, just make me vomit excuse that we do not send troops into harm's way without knowing all of the information on the ground. I'm sure those Marine recon teams, I'm sure they're going, well, what the hell do we do then? What's our job? We do send troops into harm's way without knowing all the information on the ground. Especially when our men are being attacked. You damn Skippy, we send men into harm's way without knowing everything on the ground. That right there, both of those statements, those were inexcusable statements. He should have been removed. He should have been removed from the chamber in handcuffs and at least lost his job. You don't make statements like that. You just don't make statements like that. You couldn't throw the guy in jail for being an idiot. It'd be nice, but, I mean, you can't do that. I mean, I know I talk that crap, but you can't. We all understand it. But he at least should have lost his job immediately. And if the president wasn't going to fire him, Congress should have. They do have the right to impeach, too. They can impeach. They can impeach him. They have the right to do that. You don't make statements like that. And especially expect the American people to believe it. And then unfortunately, on top of all of that, there were people out there that actually believe it. People will believe anything a politician tells them. And then they'll repeat it.
Because they know.
Yeah. My politician, Nancy Pelosi, she said so. And she doesn't lie. She's a Democrat. And she loves. Nancy Pelosi is too stupid to lie. She has no idea what the hell she's saying. She's a babbling idiot. And you're going to take this babbling idiot's word and repeat it? And you're going to call yourself responsible? Intelligent? Why? How did we get here? How the hell did we get to where the hell we are? Now we got promise zones. These executive order promise zones. How about the entire United States as a promise zone? Like we can keep our freedom if we like it. How about that for a promise zone? Huh? How about if you promise to do your goddamn job and stay off the golf course? Stop playing with Jay-Z and Beyonce. And stop passing executive orders because Congress won't give you everything you want because you're a spoiled little brat. How about that for a promise? I could go on for hours, but I can't. I swear to God, I'm going to have a friggin' coronary. And I shouldn't have to have a goddamn heart attack. I mean, this stuff is serious, man. A promise zone? So what if you live outside the promise zone? Then what? You get nothing? You're screwed? I mean, that's just stupid. A promise zone. Yeah, they're going to work. Kind of like those shovel-ready jobs. I promise to be the most transparent administration. All these promises, you're going to save the sea levels, save the planet, save the world. You got yourself a Nobel Peace Prize for winning an election. I mean, that's pathetic. I mean, what is wrong not only with this country, but what is wrong with the world, man? That tells you where we are in this world, man. I don't like it. I don't want it. I don't like it. I don't need it. I flat refuse to comply with it. If the rest of the world wants to live like Europe, then let Europe be Europe. You want to live like the Middle East, then live like the Middle East. I don't care how the hell you live your stupid life. But I do care how I live my life. And I do not want to live my life the way you live your life. Nor am I trying to inflict my way of life on you. You have to make your own goddamn decision how you live your life. Well, that's my decision I got to make for me. Just because you win an election, you have the right to tell me how to live my life because you know better? Just because you won an election? Last year, Obama announced that he intended to launch 3 manufacturing hubs. Ugh, another disaster. Like the one he will showcase Wednesday. I do believe that's today. In Raleigh, North Carolina. I wonder if this is like another Solyndra hub. He also called on Congress to create 15 more similar hubs. Yeah, the American taxpayer, they got endless amount of money. Go ahead and just keep raping them. They like it. People don't want their money anymore. It's dirty. Get rid of it. These hubs are going to be a disaster. I don't have to read anything about it. I don't have to know anything about it. Yes, I do have the ability to judge a book by its friggin' cover. It's the same book. It's just got a different cover on it. I don't need to read the damn contents. I already know what happened at the end. You, the American taxpayer, loses, and loses big. That's what happens. Some of the gory details may be a little different, but the end result is still the same. The taxpayer gets screwed. So what do you call it, a love story? Obama's determination to use the power of executive orders and administrative actions, as well as his decision to convene key figures from private enterprise, education, and other interest groups to help advance his, not the American, not America's, but his agenda, underscores some of the built-in powers of the presidency to help advance his agenda. He's got that phone. He can convene key figures. Right, just to dial a couple of buttons and that's it. Got him on speed dial. Boom, now we can convene. Now we can talk. All right. Anybody got any more ideas how to screw the American people? Oh, you got one over there. Oh, okay, what is it? Oh, that sounds good. Let's use that. Is that what you mean by convene? And then whatever you guys decide on your little phone conversation, why don't you get on Twitter and you can tweet the presidential tweet. Tweet. Yeah, I got your phone. I've got a pen and a phone. Ooh, wow. Oh, God. Well, I guess we just better do what that president says. We don't want him with that pen. Oh, that's a... he's serious, too. Look at him. You can see it in his eyes. He means business, damn it. Why don't you use that pen and sign your resignation? Clinton-era White House Chief of Staff, this little maggot, John Podesta. I mean, just what a creep. They're all creeps. Every damn one of them. Who is joining the White House as a senior advisor. He's got all these advisors. Well, you know, the president, you know, come on with the advisors. They all do that crap. Oh, top secret senior advisor. Oh. I mean, that just this game has got, we got to change the rules of this game, man. Actually, we don't need to change the rules of the game. We just need to follow the rules of the game. That's all we need to do. Fix the way we're playing it, because we're not playing it right. Clinton-era White House Chief of Staff John Podesta, who's joining the White House as senior advisor, has long pressed Barry Satoro to use his executive authority to get around congressional opposition. You see what I mean? You see, this is what it brings. This is what that tiny little completely misinterpreted two words taken out of a sentence, executive power, has brought. This is what we got from it. This is what happens when people are too lazy to actually research and learn the truth before they, well, teach it. There is nothing in there that does not say that the president has executive order privilege. There is nothing in there that says that. Too many, who's going to question it? Well, it's executive order. We got to have him. He's got to have executive order privilege. Okay, let's give it to him. But let's be very specific of what that executive order privilege is. When he can use it. For how long he can use it. And it must be emergency. I mean emergency. You can't wait. Look, if we're going to keep our democracy free, we got to start following the rules that we set forth to play the game. What if you're playing? You got a sporting event, and you got two teams out on the field. One team is playing baseball. The other is playing football. Do you think it's going to be an exciting game, or do you think it's just going to be chaos? Do you think it's going to be fun? Huh? It's stupid. Of course it's stupid. Well, what the hell do you think we got going on here? Everybody wants to play by their own rules. You know, this interpretation, first of all, the word interpretations are nothing more than what people do to justify what they don't understand or that they don't like. Well, look, I don't like that the sky is blue. So if I ever become president, do I have the right to executive order the goddamn sky green? Because I don't like it? I find blue offensive? I find blue skies racist? I mean, my God. Look. When it comes to government, you can't give these people anything because they're just going to take much, 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 much more. That's why you have to be specific with things. These people are children. They're crybabies. And they are.
I didn't get my way. Where's my pen? I got a phone. Na, 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 na. And I also got a pen. So I'm going to take it and order you out.
Shut up. Look, these executive orders, I mean, okay, fine, it must be nice to just executive order your way, just executive order anything. But we've seen what his executive orders has done. You don't believe me? Just look at Obamacare. That's been executive ordered I don't know how many damn times. Satisfied with it? You happy with it? Or do you think it's a disaster and it's not going to work? And it's only going to really hurt a lot of people, especially those 50 million people that they were trying to insure. Plus, all the people that were insured and were happy with it. But now they lost their job. And those that didn't, well, they cut their hours to 29. And if you were able to keep your job, you lost your insurance. Now you got to pay more. You don't qualify for subsidies. And then whatever that computer says on there, well, that doesn't include this year's taxes, and there's fees on top of that. Look, this liberalism, this whole progressivism, all it does is bring poor people. It just makes poor people. It's a poor people factory. That's all it does, produce poor people. Do you want to be one of them? Are you one of them? Do you want to not be one of them? Well, then when you go to the voting booth, you need to vote responsibly. And those that are in office, you need to hold them accountable. If they're not doing their job and they're doing something illegal that is corrupt, that is this, that is that, that is detrimental to either your community or the country, whatever election is, whatever your dispute is, well, then you got to fight the fight, man. When you see the fight, you fight the fight. You don't just leave it, because that fight gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like a fire. Well, it's just a little bitty fire. Yeah, but it's right next to all those gas cans. Yeah, but that's a fire. It's so small. It's just not even worth it. Don't worry about it. What happens? Well, the fire does get bigger and gets hold of them gas cans and kaboom. It's called a frickin' explosion. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Yeah, the volcano's been oozing out lava. But now it's about to explode. And it will explode. And this is what Barack Obama has brought. This is his Nobel Peace Prize. This is what this man has done to deserve a Nobel Peace Prize, of bring the greatest nation on earth to its knees. And we voted him in to do it. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Jesus God almighty, man. This stuff is real. This isn't fake, man. This is real stuff. This Agenda 21, you're going to be crammed into a government-built, government-mandated ghetto. And you're not allowed out unless you are transferring to one of their little pod trains or whatever the hell they are to take you to another government ghetto. You're not allowed to go out of these zones, out of these promise zones, because that is for the animals, and you must not disturb the plants. This is what these people are trying to bring to you, and they are bringing it. They're implementing it. This is real. This is not fake. This is not phony. This is not exaggeration of any kind. This is real. It's happening now. Well, it's not happening to me, and I don't see it in my neighborhood, so what the hell do I care? Well, nobody does anything. Nobody sees anything. Nobody hears anything. Nobody knows anything unless it happens to them. Well, sometimes you got to do a little preventive maintenance. We had that in the Navy. It was called PMS. No, not premenstrual syndrome. Preventive maintenance system. Sometimes you have to do a little premenstrual. Now I'm stuck on premenstrual. Sometimes you have to do a little preventive maintenance. If you want to go down this road, well, then fine. Don't do anything. Sit on the couch, jam another bag of Cheetos down your fat gullet, and it'll come to you. It'll be knocking on that door in no time. Don't worry about getting up. Don't worry about answering the door. It'll just let itself in. But I don't want to live that way, and I refuse to live that way. I'm not going to live that way. Why should I live that way? Why should you? John Podesta coming in now telling Obama, you must use that executive order privilege. So what does Obama do? He goes out there and gives a speech, his first cabinet meeting. Now, remember, guys, I've got my pen and I've got a phone. And I'm ready to use both of them, so don't any of you give me any guff. Sheriff is, he's upset. Look at him. He means business, too. Yeah, look at him eyes. Yeah, he's serious. Ooh. I wonder if Putin were ever to say something like that to his parliament. They'd probably laugh him out of the friggin' country. Don't mess with me. I got a pen and a phone. All right, Putin. Yeah, it's time for, you got to go to the funny farm. I got a pen and a phone. I mean, that's pathetic. I mean, Putin's out there, you know, showing off his, you know, his shirtless man boobs. He's got a little muscles left. He's holding shotguns and out there killing bears and riding horses. Then you got a picture of Obama with a phone and a pen. I mean, this with the foreign policy. No. We don't have foreign policy. We have foreign fallacy. We have turned this country in just milk toast, gooey, soppy, soupy. This is embarrassing, man. This is embarrassing stuff. I'm tired of this administration embarrassing me. Not only is he embarrassing the entire country, but he's embarrassing me. I'm sure he's embarrassing you as well. Well, nobody likes to feel that way. Especially when we're not asking for it. We don't deserve it. Could you stop embarrassing us, Mr. President? Put away your stupid pen and your stupid phone. Oh, I mean, I got to get off this. America's dwindling economic freedom. World economic freedom has reached record levels, according to the 2014 Index of Economic Freedom. But after seven straight years of decline, the U.S. has dropped out of the top 10 most economically free countries. Imagine that. America. The whole purpose of the country, the whole foundation, the whole purpose, the whole meaning behind forming the country was for freedom. And now we have dropped out of the top 10. We should always be top one. Ever. Forever. Never should we even be two. That's disgraceful. That defeats the whole purpose of the country. Economic freedom. Freedom of every kind. Freedom. 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 Advocating anything, I just see it happen, man. I mean, this is just my philosophy, my psychology, whatever you want to call it, my view on it. I'm just an outsider looking in, man. You can only push people so far and for so long, and when they rise up, they're going to start pushing back. And when they do, things are going to get real ugly real quick. Well, things are starting to get fugly. Let me put it to you that way. Every story I talk about, it's all one more piece of freedom being taken away. One more right, one more liberty, one more tax, one more mandate, one more embarrassment. I can't take it anymore. I can't take being embarrassed. Taking selfies. I mean, you're at a funeral. Come on, you're a head of state, man. Heads of state, I'm sorry. And look, if the people's down there, they want to jump up and sing and dance, okay, that's fine. But you need to use a little decorum. Nobody cares about their job anymore. They just don't give a damn. Oh, I won an election. It doesn't really matter. I can't lose my job. Oh, well. And Republican Congress, they're not going to impeach me, because if they do, they'll just be labeled as racist. And they want to win the 2014 election. Is that what this is about? You want to make sure that you win the 2014 election before you impeach? How many more people have to die before you impeach? Huh? Now you're going to let Obamacare keep going and going and going and going and going until more people, until nobody has insurance? I mean, is that the end result? Is that what we're doing? Mr. Boehner, you got to start, you know, I'm sorry that you're going to have to fight. But we're losing the country, and we expect our leaders to, well, fight for us. Because, see, we don't have a seat in Washington. That's why we vote you to take our seat. You see what I'm saying? You see, Mr. Boehner, this is why you won the election. This is what you're supposed to do. Look, if you ain't got the hair on your testes to get up there and fight, well, go outside and have another cigarette and another good cry. We'll let the adults take over. Let the responsible people take over. People that, well, like freedom. And they're going to fight and make goddamn sure that the American people keep that freedom. We're sick and tired of having people in there, well, we just don't want to rock a boat. We just want to be friends. And it's an election year. We want to be just as nice as we possibly can with everybody so everybody will love us. No, we'll love you if you do your goddamn job. But if you're going to play these little cockamamie games, no, we're not going to love you. We're certainly not going to respect you. I don't respect people like that. Why should you? Look, all we want you to do is your job. That's it. You don't need to convene as much as you do. The less Congress works, the better off the country is. You got a few certain bills that you got to pass in order to keep the, you know, the country running? Okay, fine. Something comes up? A governor closes a couple of lanes? Well, then we got to have congressional hearings. We got to get the FBI and the DOJ and the CIA and the EPA. We'll get them all involved. Yeah. We'll bring that governor down. Our embassy's attacked. Four of our American brothers are brutally murdered. 400 surface-to-air missiles are taken out of the complex. And, well, hey, what are you going to do? It's a rough place, man. It, you know, hey, they bought their tickets. They knew what they were getting into. They knew this was a rough area. We didn't have to tell them, and they took the job. Yeah, they took the job, and you took away their security. And now they're dead. And you blame it on a video. And you go to sleep. And sleep well. And you get up and you go play golf. I don't know how these people sleep with themselves. I couldn't. There's no way in hell. There's no way in hell. No way. I couldn't do it. If I did what this president did during Benghazi, there's no way in hell I could possibly sleep at night. What this man didn't do, again, it's not really what he did, it's what he didn't do. Combination of both, but... And in Fast and Furious, why... If I didn't fire my attorney general and those other creeps that were involved in that, there's no way I could have slept with myself. No way. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't do it. IRS, no way. I'm sorry, but that's not... Look, you can hate your political foes. Fine. Hate their guts. Get a dartboard, put their stupid pictures up there, and throw darts at them all day long. I really don't give a damn. But the IRS is not to be used for political purposes. That is a federal offense. But the FBI, they found no... Well, we couldn't find anything. And we looked. Yeah, you did, didn't you? And, who's the head of the FBI? Mm-hmm. This is what I don't like. I understand that the president, he's got, you know, his cabinet, he can pick head of the FBI, and it's got to go through Senate, it's got to go through this. But they're... I understand that you need a few people on your side that are like you. But I think some jobs, well, there's no real way to, there's just no way to really get around it. there's always going to be corruption of some sort. You're always going to have cronyism. You're always going to have kickbacks and favors. I guess there's just no real way of getting around it. Human beings are programmed to do that. However, we can mitigate it, and mitigate it to the point where the American people are no longer getting screwed by it. Personally, I believe, I don't care what it is, if the American people are affected in any way by any tax dollars of any kind, and you do something like a federal offense, I'm sorry, but that's it. You must be at least removed from your position. Any money you stole, you must repay back. I don't think it's necessary to throw them in jail, I mean, unless they did something, you know, more. We need to stop throwing everybody in jail. Especially 10-year-olds. Because they use their finger as a mock gun. I mean, this kind of stuff has got to go away, man. We've got to stop throwing everybody in jail. I know I talk a lot, but I'm not really talking about actually physically throwing people in jail. But there are people that are actually doing crimes. What the Attorney General did, I'm sorry, but if I was to do what the Attorney General did, I would go to jail. And so would you. We at least have to start kicking these people out of their jobs. We got to set an example. Look, you can be the biggest creep you want to be, but you can't be it here. And if you are, we're going to weed you out and we're going to get rid of you. And then we need to do it. It may suck at first. There's a lot of people going to be losing their jobs, but at least the American people are going to be in control. We're going to have our country back. We're going to have our freedoms back. We're going to put a responsible Congress in there who's just going to pass the laws they need to pass. It's not a race to see who can pass the most legislation in order to be the most productive Congress. That's not what Congress is about, Ms. Pelosi. That's not your job, Ms. Pelosi. We want responsible legislation. We just don't want abundant legislation, because that abundant legislation restricts us from, well, conducting business, being free, allowed to live our lives the way we want to live. But see, none of that stuff ever affects these people. And then there's people, well, that's the government, that's the way it is. Oh, well, nothing you can do. Well, yeah, you can. Number is this? What number did they give us? Those losing freedom on the other, let's see, for 20 years, the index has measured a nation's commitment to free enterprise on a scale of 0 to 100 by evaluating 10 categories, including fiscal soundness, which we don't have, government size and property rights. Well, we don't hardly have property rights anymore. Those are going away. And they're going away quickly. And government size, our government is huge. Every agency, look at all these agencies, and they all have a resting authority. Our government is too big. We got more, damn near more people on the public sector than we do in the private sector. That's why they need more taxes, because they're just, the government's too big. They don't have enough money to pay all their little friends who come into their office and do absolutely nothing. But they pass a piece of legislation and make a recommendation and a rule and a this and a that, which keeps more businesses from actually conducting business. And now they have to lay their people off, and we got more people on unemployment. And that's a good thing, because unemployment insurance, well, builds the economy. Oh, you didn't know that? Oh, yeah. Old Nance, she told us that. The president just told us that. Jay Carney. Yeah, it's true.
I mean, if Jay Carney's going to get up there and say, well, he speaks for the president. The president, do you know the president doesn't lie? He's the most transparent president in all American history. Nobody's been more transparent than him. He's it, man. He's the king. Getting back to these categories, these commitments have powerful effects. Countries achieving higher levels of economic freedom consistently and measurably outperform others in economic growth, long-term prosperity, and social progress. Botswana, for example, the article says, has made gains through low tax rates and political stability. Wouldn't that be nice to have low tax rates and political stability? Maybe I'll move to Botswana. Yeah. Those losing freedom, on the other hand, risk economic stagnation. Have any of that in this country? High unemployment. 91.5 million people. And deteriorating social conditions. Detroit. For instance, heavy-handed government intervention in Brazil's economy continues to limit mobility and fuel sense of injustice. Kind of like what's going on in this country. It's not hard to see why the U.S. is losing ground. Even marginal tax rates exceeding 43% cannot finance runaway government spending. And they want to spend more. But Paul Ryan and his little newfound friend over there, Patty Murray, unfortunately represents my home state, which makes me sick. I can't believe that bill that they passed. Oh, but it's in a step in the right direction. No. A step in the right direction means nothing. When you take one step, what happens? Well, your other foot is still planted. You haven't gone any goddamn where. You need to take multiple steps. You need to be running into the right direction, which is a complete 180 of where we're going. Because of the direction we're going, there's a cliff on the other end, and I'm really not interested in falling off, the son of a bitch. So don't give me any more goddamn steps in the right direction. Turn around and start running in the right direction. I lost a lot of respect for you too, Mr. Ryan. You know, you broke my heart too, man. You guys really show your true colors sometimes. And it's pathetic. Absolutely goddamn pathetic. The Obama administration continues to shackle entire sectors of the economy with regulation, including health care, finance, and energy. What energy? Oh, you must mean those mercury-laden, baby-killing light bulbs that people can't afford. We have to buy them from China. The intervention impedes both personal freedom and national prosperity. Getting back to that energy, how can we forget oil, which you need? Almost every product you have today comes from oil. The bottoms of your shoes, anything nylon, rayon, any of the ons. If it's got an on at the end of it, on means oil. Every container that you go out and you buy your so-called organic strawberries, well, that comes in a plastic container, which is made from oil. You're an idiot. And that stupid tofu that you buy comes in a plastic container, which made from oil.
Oh, but we hate oil. We hate big oil. Oh, yeah, the Koch brothers. Yeah. George Bush. Yeah, Dick Cheney. Yeah, Sarah Palin. They all want oil. Oil.
Well, everything that you own, you idiot, is made from oil. Maybe it shouldn't be that way. I don't know. But it is. So if you're going to get rid of oil, well, these people are going to be in a, well, they're going to be in a world of hurt. But not to worry, San Francisco, they've gotten rid of their plastic bags. So they don't have any plastic bags. They're leading the way. They're leading by example. Is this how you want to live your life? I mean, you want to live in a city? I mean, San Francisco is a very pretty city. If you want to live there, now you can't have plastic bags. You can't have this. You can't have a butterfly. You can't do this. You can't do that. I mean, do you really want to live in a place like that? You think it's fair that you got to live in a place like that? Don't you think that people are taking their power a little too far? Now look at that. Look at that mayor in New York City. He's going to get rid of the horses so his land developer buddies can make a whole big chunk of change, and I'm pretty sure this mayor stands to make a lot of money as well, too. So all those people that are about to lose their job and all that tourism that was so good for New York City, well, it's going to go away. And how are you going to build this city again, Mr. Mayor? Where's your economic equality there by removing people's jobs? Where are these people supposed to find a job now? Huh? What are they supposed to do? So now what do they do with the horses? Well, the only thing they can do is shoot them, send them to a factory, and, you know, they can, you know, turn them into horse meat for dog food, cut their hooves off, and they can make glue out of them. So what are they supposed to do? When you talk about these animals are getting inhumane treatment, so they have to be slaughtered now and turned into dog food and super glue? And you're telling me that that's more humane than being used as beasts of burden around the city? Where they work, what? What is it? They work 5 hours a day and they get all this rest and they get this. And they get like 5 weeks a vacation at a beautiful farm. I mean, it's ridiculous. But these horses are treated and taken care of better than most people living in this country today, especially the 91.5 million people that are out of frickin' work. And now this son of a bitch is going to take more people out of work. And I got to go into the city. I hate walking into places where you don't know what to do. Can I breathe? Can I turn left? Can I turn right? Can I go here? Can I go there? Can I talk to somebody? Can I look at anything? Can I do something? What can I do? I don't know. I can't do anything. I want to be able to walk up and down the goddamn street, look where I want, do what I want, say what I want, go where I want to go. I don't want to have to go through all of this. Oh, I can't have a plastic bag. Oh, my God, I got a butterfly. Oh, what do I do? What do I do? Jesus, God, man. But as the U.S. economy languishes, many countries are leaping ahead thanks to policies that enhance economic freedom. You see how that works, Mr. Satoru? Policies that enhance economic freedom, not the policies that restrict economic freedom. I'm sorry, but the EPA, that should be unlawful. Every one of their policies and rules and guidelines, fees and taxes and fines and all that, no, that should be unconstitutional. If we had people that actually were not afraid to take up the EPA, the government, but we don't have those people. We should. Why are you afraid to stand up and defend the Constitution of the United States? Why should you have to be afraid to stand up and defend the Constitution of the United States? You tell me that. Why? You shouldn't be. Well, I'm not. I don't have a law degree. Otherwise, yeah, I'd probably be in court right now. But as far as the EPA goes, I mean, these laws, these rules, these regulations, these are unconstitutional. They do not have the right to do that. How could a government agency have the right to bypass Congress and write as much policy and laws and fees and regulations and rules as they see fit? And the American people have to follow it. That's not anywhere near our Constitution. That is not legal. And if somebody really wanted to fight it, like those miners up in Chicken, Alaska, should fight it. Government agency, you make recommendations. You get a clipboard and a test tube. You do not get a gun. You do not get to make policy. You do not get the right to tax and to fine and to levy and arrest. And we're allowing this to happen. The EPA has taken away your light bulb, and now you have to buy, in the name of saving the planet, you have to buy a toxic, mercury-laden, baby-killing light bulb from China. And you people are okay with that. Well, I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with these numbers. We should be in the top one of economic freedom. We should be leading the way. We should be the leaders by example. But we're not. We're the followers of failure. Everything we're doing has already been tried before, tried and tried and tried and tried and tried again, and it has failed every single time. But we can do it right. We're going to do it right this time. Yeah, Obama's going to lead us the way. He's smart. Yeah, he was a college professor. Jesus, college professor. You were a guest speaker that rarely showed up. You had one day in court, and you were chastised by the judge so bad not even Acorn wanted to have you back. Even if they did, the judge would have not allowed you to speak in his courtroom. That's how bad he was. One day in court. So Acorn said, you know what? We got this community organizing job that just opened up. Maybe you ought to go check it out. You don't have to do anything. You have no responsibility. You walk around. You look pretty. You give a speech here and there. You know, gives you time to write a book. Maybe you can run for president one day. And the rest is history. All right, let's get into this new Iran agreement. Oh, God, it's not an agreement. They don't have any agreements. Nobody knows what the other side knows. Nobody. John Kerry, he's an idiot. Key elements of a nuclear agreement between Iran and six world powers are contained in an informal 30-page text not yet publicly acknowledged by Western officials. Ooh. Abbas Araki, whatever, we're going to call him Joe. Again, with all these names, man, you guys want your names, you know, right over the air here, man, you're going to have to, you know, shorten them up a little bit. Put a couple extra vowels in there if you have to. But people like me with broken left-handed tongues do not stand a chance. It's discrimination. They won't change their name because I can't pronounce it. That's discrimination. So Joe disclosed the existence of the document in a Persian language interview with the semi-official Iranian Students News Agency. What the hell is semi-official? God, just stop. The new agreement announced over the weekend sets out a timetable for how Iran and the six nations led by the United States will implement a deal reached in November that is aimed at restraining Iran's nuclear ambitions. No, it's aimed at allowing Iran's nuclear ambitions to get to the point where they actually physically have a nuclear weapon. And the United States is facilitating this, blocking these sanctions. Oh, we're in good faith, and if we give them more sanctions, then they won't come to the negotiating table. It doesn't matter if they come to the negotiating table or not. They're not going to negotiate. They're not going to agree with you. You're an idiot. You're a fool. And you're dangerous because we, the American people, are going to end up suffering. And the rest of the world is going to end up suffering because these bastards are headed straight forward, straight into a nuclear weapon, and they will use it. Don't give me this crap. We can't, we got to lower, we got to kiss the enemy's ass so they can come to the negotiating table. So we can kiss their ass again in hopes of bringing peace. Give peace a chance, he says. Jesus, God, what do you, I mean, come on. Kissing the enemy's ass is not going to bring you peace. Just going to put a bad taste in your mouth. The interview Joe referred to, the side agreement, using the English word non-paper in quotations. That must be what he actually physically said, non-paper. It's in quotations. Must be. A diplomatic term used for an informal side agreement. There it goes, informal side agreement that doesn't have to be disclosed publicly. The non-paper deals with such important details as the operation of a joint commission to oversee the deal is implemented in Iran's blah, 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 blah. I'm sick of this story. Bottom line is this. They're playing the United States. John Kerry is falling right into their hands. They've got Israel all pissed off. Which, look, whether you love Israel or not, I really don't care. You can hate them. But once Iran gets a nuclear weapon, Israel stands a really good chance of being their first target. So you can kind of see why Israel would be a little tense, why they would make off-the-cuff comments like, what's the one he just made? How about John Kerry would just win a Nobel Prize and go away? I would love for that to happen. Believe me. I wish John Kerry would win a Nobel Prize and just go away, too. Where is this story? I know I got this somewhere. But the bottom line is they're playing us. They're making this big deal with Iran to try to get them from enriching uranium to the point where they can build a nuclear weapon. All they're doing is stalling and giving the Iranians more time to build that weapon, giving them more supplies. If they cut off those, if those sanctions are allowed to go through, well, a lot of their supplies, I'm sure, are going to be cut off, and they won't get that nuclear weapon as fast as they want it. Who is this president working for is what I'd like to know. He seems to be working for everybody but the United States. He seems to be working for Al-Qaeda, Hamas, the Iranians. I mean, who is this guy working for? Does he understand that we're the United States? I don't think he does. I don't think he understands where he is. Maybe he's delusional. Maybe he's, I don't know. Maybe he's sick. Maybe he needs a doctor. Maybe he, I don't know, maybe he's suffering from just massive delusions and, you know, he'd probably get that checked out. He's got Obamacare now. I'm sure he'd be able to keep his doctor. He's the king. He's got to be able to keep his doctor. The peasants, well, they don't need it. They can go to another doctor. They're fine. Their lives don't matter as much as mine. King. What we want to do is give diplomacy a chance and give peace a chance. Quote, unquote. Your president pro tempore, Barry Satoro. Give diplomacy a chance. You're not giving diplomacy a chance. You're giving the Iranians a chance to build a nuclear weapon. And you, dummy, might want to consider the fact that if they don't use it on Israel, well, maybe they're going to build more than one. I'm sure they will. They're not going to be satisfied with just one. But does this guy really seem to think that the Iranians will not use it against the United States? May not hit actual United States soil in the upper 58, but... Oh, 58, 48. I'm getting as bad as Obama. Obviously, I was in 57 states. Yeah, and two more to go. So a senior U.S. official on Tuesday urged Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to publicly disavow a complaint by Israel's defense minister that John Kerry has a messianic obsession with Middle East peace. He just wants the goddamn peace prize. That's all he wants, and that's why it was said. In reality, this is the quote, in reality, there have been no negotiations between us and the Palestinians for all these months, but rather between us and the Americans. The only thing that can save us is for John Kerry to win a Nobel Prize and leave us in peace. The official made the highly unusual demand. All these stupid words, highly unusual. What? What is a highly unusual demand? That the man told the goddamn truth? Well, yeah, I guess that would be unusual. The official made the highly unusual demand as fresh tension erupted between the governments of President Barack Obama and Netanyahu after the minister, oh God, I can't pronounce his name, but he does have a nickname. It's called Boogie. Imagine that. His name is Boogie. All right, Boogie. I wonder how he got that nickname. Probably in his younger days, he was probably hanging out in them discotheques. Oh, yeah. Tripping the light, fantastic. Oh, yeah. Get them Hebrew mamas dancing, boy. Ha-ha. He's probably a stud biscuit, too, wasn't he? So old Boogie was quoted as branding the U.S. Secretary of State, who has made 10 trips to Israel since March, a nuisance. He is a nuisance. That's why we sent him over to you. We wanted to get him the hell out of here. Because he is a nuisance. He's a nerd. You expect the Prime Minister to put this right by expressing publicly his disagreement with the statements against Senator Kerry, or Secretary Kerry? The negotiations with the Palestinians and Kerry's comment to Israel security, a State Department official told AFP, shut up. Boogie's remarks were also condemned by Kerry's spokeswoman, and then in an apparent coordinated rebuttal to Israel taken up by the White House. The remarks of the Israel Defense Minister, if accurate, are offensive and inappropriate, especially in light of everything that the United States is doing to support Israel's security needs. Bam, 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 bam. Shut up, Carney. Look, I mean, these people, I'm sorry, but everything's offensive. You're offensive. Your mere presence on Earth, the mere liberalism is offensive. Just the fact that liberalism exists is offensive. Everything about it is offensive. All this man was said the truth. The guy's a pain in the ass, and I just wish he'd get the hell out of here. Leave us alone. You guys are doing every goddamn thing you can to make sure Iran gets a nuclear weapon so Israel, which is us, could be their first target. I mean, I don't blame the guy. He didn't say anything that I thought required all this, you know, heavy news traffic. I mean, it's one incompetent person after another doing one more incompetent thing after another in this country. I am tired of being embarrassed. This is embarrassing. Don't think for one second Iran's not going to get a nuclear weapon. These sanctions aren't going to work. And all those chemical weapons that Assad is supposedly turning over, please. Please. Those are the ones that he wants to give up. And it's all for a show, and it makes Obama look like an idiot. Makes him look weak, and I'm tired of having a weak-looking president because it makes me look weak. It makes us look weak. It makes the whole country look weak. I'm sick and tired of having that feeling. I want that to go away. I'm sorry, guys in Congress. It's not racist to impeach a president. Nobody thought of being racist when they tried to impeach Nixon or Clinton. Both of those, however, really, I didn't think we really needed to go down that road. But this one, we definitely need to go down this road. This country is in serious danger. That's not hyperbole. What this man is doing over here, this John Kerry, which is acting under Obama's, I'm sure, his rule. Whatever you do, make sure that the Iranians get that nuclear weapon. Whatever you got to do, just keep stalling. Act like you're negotiating. Well, they want to pull these in, of course, executive order. Just got rid of all these sanctions. Didn't, you know, Congress had nothing to do with it. I got my executive order. I got my pen. Here it is. And I got a phone. If you're not going to let me use my phone, oh, you know, you get in the way of my pen, I'm going to use my phone on you. You better look out. I mean business. There's a new sheriff in this town. He's armed with a pen and a phone. Ooh. Criminal charges not expected in IRS probe. Of course, they were never expected. Now, if they were targeting Democrats, yeah, they'd already be in jail. FBI doesn't plan to file criminal charges over the IRS service, the IRS highlighting. Oh, Jesus Christ. Can we start this over again? Get it together. The FBI doesn't plan to file criminal charges over the Internal Revenue Service's heightened scrutiny of conservative groups. God damn. So I need another cup of coffee, man. Wake my tongue up. According to the law enforcement officials, a move that likely will only intensify debate over the politically charged scandal. Notice those words. Politically charged. The politically charged scandal. Not the criminally charged scandal. Isn't that a crime to use the IRS to target political foes? Wouldn't that be a crime? I'm pretty sure it would be. Political. This is criminal. The official said investigators didn't find the kind of political bias or, in quotations, so this must be what they really said, enemy hunting that would amount to a violation of criminal law. Really? Oh, okay. I understand. You're right. You won an election. Oh, you're with the FBI. You were appointed by somebody who won an election. So you must be really smart. And you're with the government, so you know more than me. So I'll take your word for it.
Not.
Instead, what emerged during the probe was evidence of a mismanaged bureaucracy enforcing rules about tax exemption applications it didn't understand. Wait a minute, I thought at the very beginning this was just two rogue employees. Now that the tax code is so exhausting and they can't figure it out, nobody understands it, nobody knows what to do. We're all incompetent, it's not our fault that we targeted only the Tea Party people. It's just that we didn't understand the law, we didn't know what we were doing. It's not our fault, it's the people who wrote the tax law. I mean, this is pathetic. Do we really have to keep being insulted like this by our government? I don't know how much more I can freaking take. I can't take it anymore. I'm done. While the case is still being investigated and could remain open for months, officials familiar with the progress said it's increasingly unlikely any charges will ever result. Of course they won't. The guy running the FBI, whatever his stupid name is, he's a crony with Obama. They're not going to find anything. They were probably involved in it. This is why we have to take the power that we have. We have voting power. We actually have more power than we think we do, but we need to exercise that power. We must vet our candidates, get candidates that are out there. If you don't have a candidate and you're qualified, get your ass up there and run. But this is our job. If we want our freedom back, we're going to have to take it back. Well, we've got to do it right. And the only way that we can fight back, other than a full-scale frickin' war, which is exactly what we don't need, but we're heading right towards it if we don't stop some of this crap. And real quick, we are going there. We don't want it. We don't need it. We can't afford it. It's ridiculous. There are so many better ways that we can actually solve this problem. And the best way is going into the voting booth prepared. And before we can go into the voting booth, we need to make sure that we have prepared candidates that have their name on the ballot. We can't just be accepting people that the media has picked as our candidates. That's our job. We pick the candidates. We want some of this stuff to change. We've got to change it. We've got to put we've got to put different people in office. The people we have in now have to go away. The Nancy Pelosi's, the Harry Reid's, the John McCain's, the Boehner's, the Peter Kings, the little Debbie Dum-Dums, that jack wagon up there, that Cummings, Elijah Cummings, this guy just irritates me. Just a race-baiting little creep. He's a dirtbag. I don't like him. I don't like any of these people. They're all dirtbags. Everybody's a dirtbag. We're the biggest dirtbag for voting these dirtbags in. We can do better than this. I believe we can. But if we don't do it, we're never going to get it done. I don't know. Anything more to this stupid story?
Yes, Republican voices kept news of the Obama administration probably investigated itself last week. Yeah.
Now, look, we don't need to be told that the president was informed that Benghazi was a terrorist attack right away, because we knew it. How could you not? But now it's coming out as this is revolutionary. Oh, I broke the code. You didn't break anything. Not breaking news. We already knew it. Now it's just become, well, semi-official. And now they're all trying to talk that back. Well, he said this, but then they got new information, and then they got this, and then that happened, and then the Republicans, and then the Tea Party. It's all the Tea Party's fault. That's what happened. The Tea Party funded the video.
Oh, yeah, it's just, God. I mean, when does it end?
At least we do have much more attack ads. And I played a lot of them. I didn't get a chance to play any today because I didn't shut up. But you've heard them all. The Kay Hagan, you've heard them on this show. That's been on the air over 3,500 times. The Senator Mary Landrieu one, you know you've heard that. That's been on over almost 1,500 times. Let's see, the Ron Barber, I don't think I have that one. The Ann Kirkpatrick, I don't have that one. I'm going to have to get these. And I'll start playing them. I'm just playing nothing but attack ads. If I can find them, I'm going to play them. The Mark Begich, we got that one. Patrick Murphy, you've heard that one. I think the Sheehan one, I think you've heard that one too. But we've got our attack ads, and they are working. And the Democrats don't know what the hell to do because they don't have any money. They can't fight back. So what do? Well, we'll throw a couple of attack ads. No, man, we should be flooding the market everywhere. Billboards, magazines, newspapers, radio, television, cable, satellites, you name it, everywhere. We should be out there, man. I mean, just to be in everybody's face. Look what they did with this hope and change crap that was everywhere. Well, why can't we do this? How about big stickers of freedom? And then show what their hope and change. Show the difference between hope and change and freedom. How about that for a billboard? On the left, you've got Detroit. On the right, well, I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, we should be, the American people know it, but they're so stupid. They won't vote unless the television tells them to vote. That's pathetic. We should be all over the internet. Every damn internet site should have something on there. Pointing the finger at Obamacare has been a complete disaster, and we got 91.5 million people out of work. The 50 million people that were supposed to get insured don't have insurance. It's going to be close to 50 million people who did have insurance, now don't. And those that do are eventually find a way to get it can't afford anything else, like food. But they get that free abortion. That's a lifesaver. Jesus, God Almighty. All right, we'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 10. Goodbye, everybody.